But right now, as promised, we are joined by somebody who represents Turner Sports, a three-time Sports Emmy Award winner, recipient of the John Wooden Keys to Life Award, the Mutual Award, among many others, author of Unscripted, The Unpredictable Moments That Make Life Extraordinary. Remember, TNT is home to more than 40 playoff games, the most of any network, including the exclusive presentation of the 2019 Eastern Conference Finals. TNT's coverage continues tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern with a pair of Game 2s, Pacers-Celtics, and Jazz and the Rockets. Ernie Johnson is my guest. Ernie, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
Romy, I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm so good, Ernie. It's great to hear your voice. Listen, before we get to the NBA playoffs, Ernie, and everything else, during last night's show, a black and white photo of you rocking a striped suit and an amazing collar appeared on the program. It really was an incredible look. What do you remember about that photo?
I remember it being at Atlanta Fulton County Stadium before a Braves game, and my father was at that point still broadcasting the Braves games, and he and I were on the field and doing the play-by-play on the PA system for a father-sons game.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I remember my mom going out and buying that outfit and saying, hey, you're going to wear this. And I was like, really? Don't you know that 50 years from now, that's going to appear on TNT, and I'm going to be embarrassed in front of a nationwide audience? And she said, yes. So, yeah, that was the origin of that photo, and I don't know how they came up with it last night.
That's a great story. Great story to match a great picture. We're talking to Ernie Johnson. All right, so speaking of last night, Charles Barkley declared last night that if the Raptors do not make a deep run in this year's playoffs, then Kawhi is not going to resign, and your show will never, ever go to Toronto again. Listen, I know Chuck loves the city of Toronto, but does he have a point? Does it feel like there is an enormous amount riding on these playoffs for them?
Well, I think that's always a when you look at pending free agency and where guys might want to go and the search for championships. Sure, there's some validity to what Charles says there, but nobody can get inside the mind of Kawhi Leonard right now and decipher how much he enjoys being where he is or what he feels the prospects of that team for deep runs in the future would be. But Chuck, I mean, if that's Chuck's opinion, Chuck's probably not going to keep it to himself. And so, yeah, I mean, all of this is speculation. I don't care if you're talking about Durant or you're talking about Kawhi or Kyrie Irving or whoever. You can only do that from the outside, and you don't know what's going on between the ears of those guys.
It's true, and I do know Chuck, and more often than not, Chuck is right. Ernie Johnson joining us. Ernie, you cover just about every sport on the planet, but this time of year, you make the move from the NCAA tournament to the NBA playoffs, and of course, college basketball fans complain that the first round of the NBA playoffs never have any upsets or any action, but when you look at the first few days of the playoffs this season, what do you make of what you've seen so far?
No, it's all about comebacks. It's all about teams that just keep on fighting. I mean, what we saw the other night with the Clipper game was beyond description. I mean, to tell you the truth, we had come out from the halftime show of the Clipper game, and we were just kind of standing around the green room talking about a million different things and kind of joking, oh, hey, look, they've got it down to 24, and then you sit down and start preparing for the post-game show, and you look up and say, okay, now it's 17, okay, now it's 10. And then you start really paying attention, and then for what the Clippers did, that was just an amazing thing. And the same kind of deal last night when I'm watching San Antonio. They go up 19 in the second quarter, it gets cut to 6. They go back up 19 in the third quarter, and you think, well, Denver can't come back from this again. And to Jamal Murray's credit, they did. And so it's been about that. And I just think it's. The difference between regular season and postseason in the NBA is just that. You go down 31 in a game in January, and you may get it down under 20. But when it's the playoffs, and when it's this is the time you've been worked all year for, there's no give up.
Ernie Johnson joining us, breaking it all down. I think those are such good points. And Ernie, when you look at the Clippers and the Warriors, it'd be so easy to focus on everything that went wrong for Golden State and everything they did wrong in Game 2. But what did that comeback say about Doc Rivers and the LA Clippers?
Well, I think it always speaks, and we've always known this about Doc, of what a competitor Doc is. And back in the early days, Jim, when I was a local sportscaster here in Atlanta, and I covered Doc then when he's playing with Dominique and Kevin Willis and John Battle and Randy Whitman and that bunch. And you know what a competitor at that point Doc Rivers was. He's not going to let his guys lay down. And you saw that too. Look, when you trade away Tobias Harris, and people are saying, well, okay, now the Clippers are going to, plummet, out of the top eight, and they played incredible ball after the All-Star break. And so, look, this is a Clipper team that Doc has gotten the very most he possibly can out of. And then, to have Landry Shamet hit the big shot, and he's the guy who came over in the Tobias Harris deal, was pretty cool. And Patrick Beverley's style and his relentlessness has been a big factor in this. I mean, when Kevin Durant takes eight shots in a game, something's up.
Patrick Beverley is doing Patrick Beverley things, and I've got to admit, if I'm being really transparent, Ernie, I was one of those guys who thought that when they moved Tobias Harris that was going to be the end of this season, but it wasn't. And
probably, well, you weren't alone, yeah.
Yeah, and we probably should have known better, and I think you're right. Landry Shamet's been an amazing story. He's something else. Let me just change to some other topic, though, really quickly, because last month you posted a video of you and Chris Webber talking in 1995. It's an amazing video. You're discussing the NBA having a website on the World Wide Web where people are Ernie can find out information about teams and actually watch clips like one of Nick Van Exel scoring and then talk to C-Webb in a chat room. Like, what was your reaction when that video resurfaced?
Oh,
and did you have any idea how
what?
Important?
It's a guy who has a website, and he's in Australia, and he has this website because I reached out to him because when he put it on there, I retweeted it because I thought it was hilarious. And then he and I corresponded on Twitter, and he's got a podcast out there, and he has – I don't know how he has access to all this stuff, but when I watch that, and I'm saying, I've got this caveat in the middle of it where I say, if you have access to the internet, I mean, it's like, it was unbelievable. And
right?
So, yeah, that was the first promotion we ever did for this thing like NBA.com, and I'm being very precise, and, you got to get on the World Wide Web. It was hilarious. It was humiliating to an extent, and it was, I was treating it like, hey, look, this internet thing out there, it's probably going to be gone in a couple of weeks, but if you want to check this out, go ahead. But no, that thing was hilarious.
God, isn't that so funny? And I can remember times, not to age us, but I can remember times where there was actually a conversation where you would say to somebody, do you have an email address? Do you
exactly.
use email? Are you on the World Wide Web?
We all knew about that dial-up sound anytime you connected to the internet and you got all that crazy noise and you were waiting for it to end because then you were connected to the internet. No, we're really old, man.
Or you got knocked off the internet when a phone call came through.
Now, that still happens to my mom, by the way.
Ernie Johnson joining us. One of the things that I really appreciate about you and our conversations is that we can get outside of sports and we could talk about something like BlackBerry moments. Now, you and I have talked in the past about that, but for those who do not know, I think it's really worth resetting. Ernie, what is a BlackBerry moment and how did that phrase first come to be?
It's kind of like the foundation for the unscripted book that I wrote, and it came from a Little League game when I was a kid, and we had a delay in a game because our left fielder and center fielder went looking for a ball after a ground rule double, and then gave up the search for the ball and started just eating blackberries that were sitting out there, growing out there behind the fence. And as you get older and wiser, we always thought that was a funny story in our family. But it really, it became like a modern-day parable for me, and it was, how many times do I miss these BlackBerry moments because I'm too tied up in the game? And so it was, don't be afraid to step away from the game, whatever it is, whatever, the next conference call or the next meeting or the next I've got to do this or I've got to do that, and look around and look for the BlackBerries. Because there are these sweet moments that can be life-changing, and to me that was, it's been a thing that's kind of defined my life since that happened. And you always wonder, why did that happen? Why did that happen when I was 8 years old? Well, this is the reason, because I was able to kind of build off of that and draw parallels to what we do every day.
It's so important, and it's such a great notion, but that doesn't mean that it's easy to execute. For instance, and you can speak to it, you're incredibly busy in work, more importantly, incredibly busy as a father, so it'd be easy to miss these BlackBerry moments. How do you go about doing that, and how do you make sure that you're always aware and open to these moments when they present themselves, because you never know when they will?
I think it's just trying to slow down. I think we're all driven either by our own, you know, personal work habits or by the demands of those who are paying our checks, that we've always got to be working. We've got to be nonstop. We've always got to be connected. And I think we have to draw a line somewhere that says, look, at this point, I'm putting the mobile device away. I'm not going to be checking email all the time. I'm going to, you know, when I'm at work, I try as hard as I can, Jim, these days, to work ahead a couple of days if I can, so I can get things ready for Thursday's, you know, telecast on Tuesday, so that I'm not constantly under the gun, and so I can say, you know what, I think I can carve out an hour here, and I can be here for this, lunch with the kids, or take my wife to lunch, or do something like that, and it's not the easiest thing in the world to do, but I've been very intentional about doing that. And I read a book, not to take you to church or anything here, but I read a book in which a theologian named Dallas Willard says that hurry is the ultimate roadblock to a spiritual life, and he said you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. And I've tried to live that out. And so if I'm not in a hurry, then I can help that person who might need it, or I can take the 10 minutes for somebody who's a coworker who's struggling, who just needs somebody to listen to them for 10 minutes. So I try to do that. It's not the easiest thing in the world. I understand that, folks. But man, I've been trying to be very intentional about it.
I like that very much. You have to ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. Ernie Johnson is a 3-time Sports Emmy Award winner. He is the author of Unscripted, The Unpredictable Moments That Make Life Extraordinary. Don't forget, TNT is all over the postseason. Coverage continues tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, with a pair of Game 2s, Pacers, Celtics, Jazz, and Rockets. Ernie, it is so good to have you on this show. I appreciate the relationship and the conversation very much. Thank you.
Jim, it's always a pleasure so much, and I appreciate you for having me on. It's a BlackBerry moment for me, buddy.
Thank you very much, Ernie. That's such a nice thing to say. That's awesome. You were something else. Ernie Johnson is the absolute best. Best broadcaster, best human being, all class. God, I love that conversation. In fact, I hate it when it ends. So my thanks to Ernie Johnson. Hope you guys much out of that as I did. And look for the BlackBerry moments.